before we deal with what was raised, let's first deal in general with stories about Rabbi Eliyahu. So I know, I've heard this story that Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, after he goes to the mikvah on Friday, he smokes a special cigarette. Rabbi Feinstein, when we were finishing Kutchin, he used to teach Mishnayis every morning, two Mishnayis every morning. So the Mishnah at the end of Kutchin describes how an animal could, how many sounds come from an animal. That you could use its hides to make drums, you could use its horns, to make shofar. And the Mishnah enumerates how many sounds can come from an animal. So Rabbi Feinstein said jokingly, the Mishnah compares how much you could utilize an animal when it's alive, and how much more you could utilize an animal when it's dead. Meaning you could use its parts to make all kinds of, to make drums, to make trumpets, to make horns. So the Mishnah says it has this number of kolot, this number of sounds when it's alive, and this number of sounds when it's dead. So Rabbi Feinstein, Rav David Feinstein, may live and be well, said the same thing's true about a rabbi. He says and does one thing, and he makes like five different things are said in his name when he's alive. And when he's dead, 10 different things are said in his name. Because then he's not even around to contradict. You should just beware of stories you hear. When people come to Rabbi Avraham Shapiro and they say, I heard the Rav said such and such, so his first response is, when people come, they say, I heard the Rav said, so he says, now you know one thing, what I didn't say. Now let's deal with the question, and I'll tell you what I do say. I was once speaking to a big rabbi, and he started telling me, you know, people say that I did this miracle and that miracle, and he was laughing at it. Like, he was telling me, look at what people are saying about me. Like, he was saying it jokingly. And you're talking about someone big. I'm not mentioning his name, because I'm not sure he wants me to mention. So when you hear stories about Rav Eliyahu, don't believe all of them. I have a good friend who's there in the house very often, like every week. And he told me that there are many stories being told, and what could Rav Eliyahu do? Like, if people tell stories, what's he going to do? Start saying this isn't true and that's not true? He can't spend his life doing that. But don't believe every story. I wouldn't believe every story. Now, let's assume he does smoke when he goes to the mikveh, which I wouldn't, because when he goes to the mikveh, so then their heretz is that no one else goes there. And take it from someone who's come to the mikveh himself and wanted to go in. They don't let anyone go in when he's there. He goes in alone out of respect to him. So I don't know how anyone knows what he's doing inside if no one's there. No, that's what?
Another big rabbi goes in there sometimes.
As far as I know, people aren't in there. And if there's a big rabbi who goes in with him, then I doubt that he'd tell other people what he's doing in there. But let's assume that it's true. So I think that it could be that he needs it for health reasons, or that it helps him, or that he knows of some spiritual reasons why on his level that would help him. I don't know, but I would caution very strongly against drawing any conclusion from that, because one of the things I meant to mention is that we don't learn halacha from stories. The halacha says that today we don't even have rabbis who are on the level that when you see them doing something, you could say, I know for sure that if there were any way to misinterpret what he's doing, he wouldn't do it publicly. I could learn from him, because if he did it in a way, in a fashion that I could see, then for sure the halacha says that I could do it as well. So there were once upon a time rabbis who were on that level, that they would be so careful with what they were doing that if they did something, they would ensure that there would be no way of misinterpreting what they did. But today we say that if you see a rabbi doing something, of course what he's doing is permitted. But that doesn't mean that you could derive halacha from it, because maybe you're misinterpreting it. We say we don't have today a rabbi who's on the level that everything that he does, you could look at it and say, if that's what I saw, so that's what I could do. No, no one's on that level, because you could misinterpret what you see. You don't know why he's doing it, what the causes are. And the same thing is true when you hear stories about rabbis. And the last point, not everything that's right for Mr. A is right for Mr. B, as we saw in the Rambam. There's a chassid who says, I have to work on my traits, so I have to go to the extreme, I'll fast, so that I'll be able to fix my traits, that I have too much taivet to eat things. And if someone else does it, then he's ruining his health. That's not what's good for him. He's ruining his traits. For this person, that's what's right. So one cannot learn from seeing other people doing things. It's like very often people come to Machon Meir. I remember I came first year to Beis Medrash. So I went and sat up straight up front. I took the front row seat. I said, I want to see the Rosh Yeshiva. I see the way he is. I'll do the same thing. And it's a good thing that a person wants to do that, but a person has to know that what's right for him is not right for me. I'm not on his level. What's good for him is good for him. It's not necessarily good for me. I remember coming to yeshiva, and the head of the kollel was clean shaven. I had a beard. He was clean shaven. So I'm learning from him, and he's clean shaven, and I have a beard. And then when he had to marry off his daughters, so people said, oh, their father must not be such a big rabbi. He doesn't have a beard, so he grew a beard. But he felt he wasn't on the level yet to grow a beard. He felt that, and this is a person who I still ask my questions to. He's much smarter, he knows much more than I do. And nonetheless, he felt his rabbis all had beards, but he felt he wasn't close to them yet. He couldn't grow a beard, he wasn't yet there. When he saw his daughters were having problems getting shidduchim, so he said, okay, so I'll play the game like everyone else does. Everyone grows a beard, so I'll grow a beard too. His daughter did not grow a beard, but Baruch Hashem, she got married. Oh, sorry, I misheard you. Sorry. Yeah, he didn't shave it off. Since, I guess there were other reasons. Yeah. I'm sorry. I thought you were making jokes. I answered in turn. Yeah.
I was looking about certain. I mean, the internet can be used in good and bad ways. I heard a story of a certain rabbi, okay, that is very serious about a very well known rabbi. I'm not going to go what it is about. And the repercussion that what was suggesting was very serious. And I read a story that when there is a rumor, a very serious rumor, about a certain rabbi, and you hear that, how are you supposed to deal with it? And it has to do with some other people that are in this same story and are damaged and are having certain accusations for the rabbi. What I read in the story was that these accusations were not taken seriously and they were not dealt with. I don't know how true it is, but I saw it on a certain website. And